et prenez rendez-vous à québec.ca/vaccin-COVID. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Today, you're tuned into Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Wednesday, the 30th of June, and we broadcast every week at this time on CKUT. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. Thanks for being with us. Today on the program, we're going to be speaking with artist Melody McIver, who is a musician and composer from Sioux Lookout Treaty 3 territory. Melody participated in the Suwanee-Parry Popolo Festival this year. Of course, it was an online performance, and Melody presented a work on Treaty 3 territory, a beautiful piece that was recorded and presented through video of Melody playing on the shoreline of a lake. I had the opportunity to speak with Melody about their work and, you know, memory, thinking about the various historical questions and struggles of Indigenous peoples in colonial Canada. There's been a lot of talk about the intergenerational impact of residential schools. We talked about that, and also talked about Melody's work as a composer, as an experimental artist, and it was a great conversation, so I wanted to share it here on Free City Radio. Let's get right to that.
Hi everyone, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us from Sioux Lookout. We were talking earlier today about the Wi-Fi signal, but it seems to be working well. That video was just incredible. Maybe just to start, you mentioned numerous times throughout the performance, the album that you created called Reckoning. If you could share a bit about that album. Obviously, your work has addressed these issues both of historic colonial injustice, dating back generations, how it's affected you and your family, but also making a connection to the present and your creative practice. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a bit about the importance of the ways these issues shape your work, and the importance of seeing these issues in the present, not only in the past?
Sure. So Reckoning, I think, was a really important turning point in my career, where I was kind of developing a sound as a solo artist, but also really interested in engaging issues on a deeper manner than perhaps I do working within my own little bubble. So it was having that storytelling aspect, I think, is really important to the vibrancy of the Indigenous arts community as a whole. Like, I don't like to make sweeping generalizations too frequently, but I believe that storytelling is like one of the really recurring themes that many Indigenous artists especially emphasize. And for a topic as large as the intergenerational impact of residential schools, I know that for myself, I have my own familial history and processes that I go through with these impacts. But with working with Tara Bagan, who is the playwright, as well as all the actors that, because originally it was a theater work, it was an all Indigenous cast. So we each had kind of our own approach, our own lived experiences and intergenerational impacts. And then the character that I was asked to score the emotional journey of was a recent immigrant of color who has maybe parallel experiences of cultural oppression from, it's not named in the script where the character is coming to Canada from. But one of the central themes there was kind of unpacking this notion of, I'm going to Canada, it's a better place. And then they learn about the residential schools and like, what is this? Like, this isn't great. So in approaching that story, I think I was also, gave me a certain mobility in, like, I have a particular palette of sounds that I draw upon in my solo practice, which
mostly integrating live electronics with viola performance. And so was a lot of nuance in discussing for me to choose, like, what is this emotional journey we go on? What is the musical vocabulary I want to use? So gave me the capacity to move in, like, to some more kind of, if not necessarily atonal, like a lot of extended technique practices and dissonances that come in from other areas of my musical training, because just as much like a Western musical vocabulary is something that, if not inherited, I've been forced into for lack of options due to the relative accessibility of a Western classical training versus being the kid of a 60s Coupe survivor growing up well outside of my homelands. Like, that's the music pedagogy that's now prioritized in Canada. So at this point, my practice is also like, how can I flip this around and use these tools to tell different stories?
How was it presenting those pieces in that context, in that outdoor context? I realize that you have presented a number of different events in the context of the pandemic, not to the necessarily to a live audience in a venue, but in different landscapes or different contexts. How was it presenting those particular pieces you were just talking about in relation to the album Reckoning in that landscape at this moment?
Yeah, I think it has a different sense of vulnerability because, of course, though I was telling, it was first composed with the intent of like, the emotional journey of the character. I certainly had to draw upon like my own understandings and experiences within my family history to think through this compositional process. And so to bring these back to the land, because this is the first concert video that I've filmed since last summer. So like summer festival season, now that we're 2 seasons in. I mean, I've done a couple of living room live streams and then a couple of outdoor productions all within the Sulawesi region since I haven't been traveling during COVID. And Reckoning, I drafted it in my parents' basement in Ottawa, and then I recorded in a friend's living room in Toronto, and then it got mastered in Montreal. So it's very much
Awesome.
like we were talking about before, like that Ontario Quebec sort of triangle of most of the music industry in Canada, with apologies to Vancouver and Winnipeg, but that corridor definitely, I think, has like a different energy to it, where there's such like a large and vibrant musical communities that you can access. But for me, like, the trade-off has always been like, what does the land and that ancestral connection give me? And for a period, I had a bit more of that balance where I moved to Sulaco, but then was still touring quite regularly as a musician and get opportunity to visit major urban centers. And now it's been almost a full year in isolation where I don't really see anybody other than my partner. So like, I'm missing that energy, that stage energy too, where often when filming now, it's a very intimate setting where I might have one or two people behind camera assisting, or a very remote staggered audience. But there's both an intimacy and also like maybe a bit of an awkwardness too in doing these COVID performances, because like, I'm really missing that element of like connecting with people and kind of like that road life, and you get to see friends on the road and check out other artists on the bill in a way that that musical intimacy, I think, is a bit lost. And yeah, it's been an interesting process. I'm missing stages, but it has been really nice to have the opportunity to put together these video productions.
But I noticed actually in the piece tonight the way that you spoke between the tracks when you introduced each piece, it did really remind me of a live show in some ways. The banter part, I mean.
Yeah, I think pacing wise, like, I'll banter even more in person, but like, it's, I think, just how I've developed a set where gives me a chance just to kind of breathe between songs, just to kind of reflect on that and present that, for recognizing that there's still an audience 6 weeks down the road that's going to be seeing this. Like, I want to contextualize my work, so I try to maintain a similar pacing from the live performance.
One point of banter or pacing within the set that I thought was great was, I mean, back to the work that you've done around reckoning and the imagination of the emotional landscape of the recent immigrant to Canada, person of color coming to terms with the genocidal history of Canada. Just like thinking about what has been discussed in recent weeks around the Kamloops Residential School. I mean, so many people for years have been speaking openly about this fact, you know, that the policies of genocide around the residential schools. But it's just so in hearing you talking about the voice that you were trying to imagine really brought up so much about how Canada represents itself to the world, the government versus the reality. Navigating all that is a lot, but I'm just wondering that choice you made to explore that character and why was that important to you? I imagine that you had discussions with your collaborators, but I was really I was just really struck by what you shared about that and why that exploration was important to you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been exploring this work for a number of years now, since the play was staged. And I think the reaction to the music in isolation, like, it certainly evolved a bit as I've kind of adapted to stage works, but it was recorded for the most part live off the floor. So it's very similar to the recorded album that we have. Okay. But I definitely see in audiences, often there's a perception where people will talk to me afterwards about some of the pieces and like, oh, it's beautiful, it's serene, like it's, I hear whales, I hear like all these First Nations influences, you sound like a powwow song. And I'm like, that was a Shostakovich quotation. And then that movement, like, it wasn't powwow. Like, there's people put a lot of their expectations into what they're actually hearing. I've had people say like, oh yeah, it's all pentatonic. I'm like, it wasn't pentatonic. There's so I think there's navigating kind of that element of perception. And I think that's also why, for me to retain that storytelling component and introduce the movements and what's happening a bit. But for me, writing it, like, I was watching like rushes of the stage production while I was like really getting the timing down and thinking about these emotional points that I wanted to hit. And so some of the later moments, like, they're violent, like there's this unbridled rage, like the character is screaming like they were children, how could they do this to children, and like throwing furniture across the room. So for me, I was going kind of like a subdued tension, but there's like kind of like this like white hot rage with it. And so like I continue to kind of push myself into some of those places to kind of retain that energy in the music, which isn't always maybe the healthiest process for me, but like audiences seem to capture like a lot more of poignancy or beauty in my music too, because they maybe don't have the accompanying visuals and more oral storytelling along with it, because I'm giving a very filled narrator. So I think just kind of that, it's always been a point of interest for me on how my work is reflected back. And I think frequently people will still see a First Nations person before anything else, and some of that baggage comes along whether or not it's actually present in my music, because nothing in that set contain any sort of powwow music reference or samples or melodic motives, but it's something that people frequently want to hear, so they let themselves hear that. Not sure if that fully answered the question, but
thanks for all those layers. And I brought up the point about the narrative that you referenced in your set, because, you know, often that relationship between you know, new immigrants, racialized people, and indigenous people is often, I'm thinking about like narratives around the CBC, for example. It's often mediated by hosts that don't have those experiences. So I found that just in terms of like you're taking, like you taking on that imagination space in your work, striking just because of the context in which it's usually presented, if you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and I think in trying to align myself with this character, like I think I'm really trying to kind of build this sort of allegiance to where the character is experiencing both empathy and grief. And I think what we see a lot in mainstream Canadian society is like this denialism. And I think it's also funny that you're asking about the current social climate of where we're seeing a lot of Canadians be like, wow, this happened in residential schools. And we're like, well, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was a national moment. And for decades prior to that, like Phil Fontaine made this like a front page news story, I don't know, in 1990, like the schools closed in 96, like they're still open at that point. If people couldn't wake up after the Truth and Reconciliation issued its findings in 2015 and the multiple national events in those years preceding, like that's a 10 to 15 year window of when this has been front page news. And so people to go through this cycle, like, I can't believe this, this is so new to me, has been frustrating currently. But when I first wrote this music, probably around 2015, like that was like right around the time that the TRC was wrapping up. So like it felt also poignant at the time to think through people kind of processing these stories for the first time, because they're definitely suppressed for decades. They do the church and the state no favor, to be told. But survivors have been using every tool available to us and reaching a national level of discourse. Like if you follow the CDC somewhat casually, like you would have heard discussion about residential schools from 2015 onwards with the TRC findings. So it feels like we're kind of repeating ourselves at this point, but if it takes mass graves to Canadians.
Going back to Gustafson Lake, Wolverine was talking about these issues in the 90s. And then before that, you know, you talked about Phil Fontaine. Thanks for sharing your reflections on this, Melody. I'm just going to see if there's any questions. Nope. This is Swoney TV. And Melody McIver is joining us from Sioux Lookout. I know that you're working on a lot of different projects, scoring films also recently. We could wrap up, if you could share some of the things that you're currently working on or excited about as a musician.
Sure. So also related to the current topic, in March, I finished scoring my first feature-length score for the director Sean Stiller, who's a Squamuk from BC, and it's actually a feature documentary telling tandem stories about First Nations relationship with the salmon and how the salmon over the past century has been impacted by fishing, by mining accidents, by natural disasters, and the precarious but vital relationship that's Indigenous people in the salmon, but it's also a feature document about Phyllis Webstad, who's the founder of the Orange Shirt Day, and also profiles her work through that movement and her family's role in both residential school advocacy, but also salmon restoration practices. So it threads those two stories together and reminds us that connection to land is as important as connection to family. And of course, with recent events, because the story is also shot so close to Kamloops, I believe that we might have some accelerated path to distribution right now, but there's not currently a premiere date set, to the best of my knowledge, but I'm expecting to hear something from that in the next couple of months. And so that's Returning Home by Sean Stiller, which I scored. And moving forward, I'm probably looking into releasing that as a as a soundtrack as well. And I've been writing a lot of chamber music recently, so doing a lot of commissions over the pandemic for a couple of different university groups. So some of those have been premiered as well, and for now it just kind of gets tucked back into the portfolio as just the, I guess, like the self-producing artist world is a little slightly different than the classical new music composer writing for other people. But as I've just recently wrapped up a big stack of projects and trying to refocus my attention now towards working on my next feature-length album as a solo artist, and actually hopefully getting some studio time in Montreal in July if travel conditions remain somewhat accessible, and we'll still be quite distant to the best of our abilities. But I just like really like to record on a proper grand piano and not just like my little Suica keyboard. Mm-hmm. So like I said, that rural urban divide.
That was a conversation with Melody McIver, who is a musician and composer from Sioux Lookout, Treaty 3 territory. Melody participated in the Suwannee Perry Popolo Festival this year. I had the opportunity to speak with Melody about their work and also about some of the social and political ideas and issues that frame what they do. So I wanted to share that conversation here on Free City Radio. It is Wednesday, the 30th of June. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. We broadcast every week at 11 a.m. So tune in next week. We'll be back. And I wanted to share that interview today. Do stay tuned for the F-Files that is coming up next. And CKUT, of course, people-powered radio at 90.3 FM. You can find us online at www.ckut.ca. And we'll go out with a piece by Melody McIver. Take care. I'll talk to you next week.
are tuned in to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is Free City Radio. Also, I just wanted to say thanks again for listening to Free City Radio. Those were two pieces by Melody McIver off the EP Reckoning. You can find that on Melody's Bandcamp page. Just look up Melody McIver. Also, I just wanted to take the opportunity to invite you to subscribe to the Free City Radio podcast, which comes out every Tuesday. This is a different format and content than the weekly radio show you hear on CKUT People Powered Radio. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And of course, do keep listening to Free City Radio here on CKUT, broadcasting every week at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Stefan Christoff. I'll talk to you next week. The F-Files is now.
You are listening to CKUT 90.3.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
F-Files Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.